6 Productions.
One, two, three, four.
Well, I got the clap and I can't pee. It burns, burns, burns. When I breathe, when I breathe. Lord, when I breathe. Burns, burns, burns. When I breathe, when I breathe. Lord, when I breathe.
This is that Red Hot Roving reporter Bob Hurst reminding you to stay away from girls on trampolines because it burns. This is a red hot volcanic roving reporter Bob Hurst reminding you to stay away from girls on trampolines because it burns when I pee at www.section86.com.
Yeah, that was a little TMP Smackdown by the Meat Purveyors. Welcome, everybody, to episode 12 of It Burns When I Pee. I am your host, Blake Clayton, and it is so good to be back. I hope you've missed me as much as I've missed you. Well, we got a great show lined up for you. Of course, we should, because we've had a month and a half to work on it. We've got an interview with Bill Anderson from the Meat Purveyors. We also have a new comedy skit entitled... that's not the title of it. Sorry about that. No, really, the skit is entitled The Trailer Trash Dating Game, and I want to thank everybody who helped out with making that. That's been our most complex skit we've done so far, but I think you'll enjoy it. We've got tons of music from everybody from Old Boy, the Von Erichs, to Hank Williams Sr., Stacey Dean Campbell, of course, the Meat Purveyors, and our good friends Josephus and the George Jonestown Massacre. And we also have Jared Morningstar back on the show. Yes, on segment 3, Jared Morningstar is going to make an appearance. It's been about 6 episodes since we had him on last. So much has happened since we last talked, right after Christmas. Santa Claus was nice enough to bring me the Behringer Podcast Studio, so the quality of my shows, audio-wise, should get better. Me rambling on won't get any better. It was funny... When I got the Behringer podcast studio and I hooked it all up, it wouldn't work. And I called my buddy Andy Hughes from Section86.com. And I was like, man, I can't get this to work. And we spent about 45 minutes looking at different drivers on the computer settings and couldn't figure out what was wrong. And finally, he was like, hey, man, look at your cords. Are all your cords plugged in right? And I'm like, dude, I'm not a fucking idiot. I can, you know, I can read directions and... Well, come to find out that my in-and-out cords were wrong, and that's why it wasn't working. So Andy wanted to make sure that I told that story on the show to make sure everybody knew how much of a dumbass I was. We also have www.ibwip.com. We purchased the rights to that. And for right now, when you go to that, it goes straight over to section86.com. But we're hoping in the near future to get some pictures up and kind of have like a front page to the website. And also, since everybody was sick and tired of typing out itburnswhenip86@gmail.com, we have a new email address. So get a pad and paper and write this down. It's blake@ibwip.com. Again, it's blake@ibwip.com. So mark that down. We want to hear from you all the time. Good stuff, bad stuff, bands you think should be on the show, anything you want, definitely give us an email at blake@ibwip.com. Well, let's go ahead and get into the show. I think what we'll do first is we'll play a song here by Hank Williams Sr. called Please Don't Let Me Love You. And we also have a voicemail from our buddy cousin Wildweed. And we'll get on to the next segment. So welcome back, everybody. Thank you for hanging in there and waiting for us. And enjoy the music and enjoy the show. Again, this is Hank Williams Sr. with Please Don't Let Me Love You.
Oh, please don't let me love you just because I'm feeling blue. And please don't let me kiss you, 'cause I know because you're sweet, dear, I want to love you. Please stay away from my heart. And please don't let me love you, 'cause I know break my heart. Oh, please don't call me darling when I know you don't love me. And please don't whisper sweetheart, or I can't be. When I'm lonely, I want you only. Where is the dream I once knew? Oh, please don't let me love you, 'cause I know untrue.
Hey, brother, this here's Cousin Waweed, and I just wanted to tell you how much I really enjoyed the last minute, man, that last episode of It Burns When I Pee. It was just awesome, man. I especially loved you playing my favorite Joe Buck song, Bitter Is the Day, and my buddy Christoph Mueller over in Germany. Man, that was awesome. So I just wanted to let you know we're listening to you here in the holler. And keep on, brother, because y'all the best motherfucking country music station there is. Rock and roll.
So, you're looking for some hot Asian porn. Or maybe you're looking for some swingers to convince your wife to hook up with. And there's always that Two Girls in a Cup website. If you're into all that, then you're in the wrong place. TwainNation.com has nothing but up-to-date information about all that is holy, real country music. Whether it's Hank III, the Drive-By Truckers, or Willie Nelson, you'll find it all at TwainNation.com. They have news, reviews, and points of view that you want. Check out TwainNation.com, because country music shouldn't suck. Thanks again to Cousin Wildweed for kicking us out an email. I want to let everybody know that the Piapalooza CD is still available. We're going to be selling them until probably the end of March, and then we're going to cut off sales. As of right now, we've raised about $125 to the Hank Williams Museum. So if you want to order one, there's $7 U.S. residents, $10 for overseas, $5 goes to the Hank Williams Museum from each sale. Shoot me an email and we'll get you all lined up. If you have already put an order in and haven't sent us your money, you definitely want to get us your money as soon as possible so we can get those shipped out to you. I wanted to talk a little bit also about the Hank Cash CD. We had Hank Cash on the last episode, and if you enjoyed any of their music and you're on stateside and you want to order one of their CDs, just shoot me an email. They're $12 a piece and $3 for shipping, and I decided that the first 10 people to email me and order a copy of the CD will get an autographed Hank Cash poster as well. I've got a few of those left they had sent me. So the first 10 people to order a Hank Cash CD from me will also receive an autographed poster. There are some huge CDs coming out, or that have come out lately. I wanted to talk a little bit about those. The Slack Eyed Slim album entitled Texas Whore Pleaser is now out. It's $14. You can order it through PayPal on his MySpace, but he also has a new MySpace, a new website out. Excuse me. The website is called SlackEyedSlim.com, and I think he's going to be having some stuff on there. So definitely check that album out. We've played him on the show before, and we really like his stuff. And also, there's another album out by our friend Rachel Brooke, who is also on the compilation CD. And you can check her album out. It's just self-entitled Rachel Brooke at her MySpace page, which is MySpace/RachelBrooke1. That's RachelBrooke1. And her album, I've got that too, and it's an amazing album. And she's selling those for $10 plus $2 in shipping. So definitely check those two guys out, or guy and girl, excuse me. Sorry about that, Rachel. And finally, our friend Lonesome Wyatt and Those Poor Bastards have a new album out. It's called The Plague, and it's going to come out on March 11th, and they're taking pre-orders as of February 18th. So you definitely want to get your name in and get a hold of one of those. Again, it's Those Poor Bastards with their new album called The Plague. I think now is as good a time as any to go ahead and play y'all our new skit entitled The Trailer Trash Dating Game. And again, thanks to everybody who helped us out. And after the skit, we'll play a song called Jerk You Off My Mind. So stay tuned, and I hope you enjoy the skit. Welcome, everyone, to the Trailer Trash Dating Game. I am your host, Richard Trickle. We have a great show for you today, so let's get started. Let's begin by introducing our three bachelors. Bachelor number one is from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and works as a janitor at the local Walmart. Please welcome Bud. Bachelor number two is with us live via satellite from the Alabama State Correctional Facility. He is currently doing 5 years for robbing a liquor store. Welcome, Jethro. And finally, bachelor number three is an unemployed coal miner from West Virginia. Let's meet Bubba. Now let's meet the young lady who is going to be able to choose one of these men for her date. You may have heard her on the amazing podcast called It Burns When I Pee at section86.com. Welcome, Cheyenne.
Well, thank you, Richard.
All right, let's not waste any more time. Let's get started, Cheyenne. Go ahead and ask your first question.
Bachelor number one, I like a guy who is handy around the trailer. If I had a hole in the roof of my trailer, how would you fix it?
I would get up on there and put some duct tape on that there hole. Duct tape is an amazing tool, and it can fix just about anything.
Okay, bachelor number two, how about you? How would you fix the hole in the roof?
Well, it'll be about 3 years before I can fix it. My hands are kind of tied up right now.
Sounds like you're a lazy ass to me.
Cheyenne? Go ahead with your next question.
Bachelor number three, I like a guy to be romantic and passionate. Can you describe what our first date would be like?
Well, you see, first I'd pick you up in my truck, and I'd wear my best overalls, and probably take a trip on downtown, stop by the old Piggly Wiggly. Well, we'd probably pick up a box of wine and head down to the river, and we can get in the bed of the truck and look up at them there stars. Of course, I'd be all gentlemanlike.
Sounds like a good time, bachelor number three. Thank you. Now, bachelor number two, can you describe what our first date would be like?
Well, I guess you would come to my compound. You'd have to go through security and all, but then we could meet in the lunchroom. I mean, we could meet in my dining room. I think our date would involve a lot of talking. You could bring me some magazines and some money if you could. And we'd only have about a half an hour to visit, though, because I'm so busy and all that is.
Okay, that seems a little weird and not really romantic, but oh well.
Alrighty, folks, we gotta take a little commercial break so we can pay the bills. We'll be right back in 2 and 2. Are you looking for more stuff about the blues, rockabilly, and honky-tonk music? If so, then you need to take a trip over that big old river to England. and go to spfanzine.com. Our friends at spfanzine.com got more stuff than they know what to do with. News, reviews, interviews, and so much more. Hell, when my wife says, "Show me your stuff," I just sit her on down at the computer and take her to spfanzine.com. Their stuff is so huge, the Cheyenne is always satisfied. Check out spfanzine.com. That's spfanzine.com. Made in England, inspired in Texas. Welcome back to the Trailer Trash Dating Game. We have the lovely Cheyenne here, and she has one more question for all the bachelors, and then we are going to find out which lucky guy will win a date with Cheyenne. All right, Cheyenne, it's time for your final question. Go ahead and ask away.
Bachelor number one, I am looking for a guy who can make it burn when I pee. If we were alone, what would you like me to do for you?
If we were alone, well, I think I would have to have you make me some dinner, like a steak and baked potato or something, maybe some chocolate pie too. Yeah, baby, that's what I want you to do for me.
Okay, I won't be your bitch, but okay. How about you, bachelor number two?
Wow, what would I like you to do for me if we were alone? Well, first, what I would want you to do is get me a couple things. First, I need a gram of Coke. Of course, you're going to have to stick that up your ass so the butlers won't see it. Then, I also need you to come pick me up in a van. Of course, you're going to have to take the plates off before you get here. And then, I'll need some clothes and a fake ID. And finally, I'll need you to hide a file and a cake. Yeah, that's what I need. That'll help me get out of here.
That sounds weird, but you have been weird this whole show. Well, batch number three, can you top either of these two guys?
Girl, I want you to take off my pants, slide off my socks, and rub corns on my feet. Oh yeah, that'd be great. That's what I'm talking about.
Richard, do I have to pick any of these nasty bastards? I mean, I am a redneck girl, but all these guys suck ass.
Well, this has never happened before, but I guess if you don't want to go out with any of these guys, then you don't have to.
Well, you are kind of hot, though. You want to go get your Hank on?
Sounds great to me. Let's go. Thanks to everyone for watching. See you next time on the Trailer Trash Dating Game.
This is Gutless of Gutless Country.
Hi there, this is Carmen Lee of Carmen Lee and the Tomorrow River 2.
Hey everybody, how you doing? I'm One More Name on FlapDaddy.com. I host the Bootleg Asylum radio show every Friday night at midnight time Eastern. I play real country, rock, metal, blues, and alternative folk music. Check it out when you can and help support internet radio shows like mine. And thanks for downloading this podcast number 12 from section86.com of It Burns When I Pee with your host Blake, the Lovesick Blues Boy Clayton, and his Valentine's Day effort with guest Bill Anderson of the Meat Purveyors. Ah, Valentine's Day. Let's see, you got bloody, pulsating red hearts everywhere just dripping with love. Oh, and of course, the bloody massacres of the past. What's not to love about this romantic day? Well, I gotta go shoot some arrows into some hearts myself, with love, of course. Remember to tune into my Bootleg Asylum radio show every Friday night at midnight time Eastern at FlapDaddy.com.
Bootleg Asylum radio show, the only place to hear gutless country music on FlapDaddy.com.
One, two, three. Sign up on FlapDaddy.com.
Let me make her, not a jerk you are.
You're sitting there listening to It Burns When I Pee. You've got a Budweiser in one hand and your rifle in the other. No, a real rifle. There's only one more thing you need. 9bullets.net. 9bullets.net brings you the music news that you want. Not only real country music, but much more from the indie scene. Don't be a douchebag. Go check out our pals at 9bullets.net and take aim at real music. 9bullets.net, where all their alibis are 100 proof. All right, welcome back, everybody, to It Burns When I Pee, Episode 12, the special Valentine's Day Massacre edition. We just got done hearing Jerk You Off My Mind by Josephus and the George Jonestown Massacre, and we have a special guest with us who has been away from us for way too long. I think it's been 6 episodes since he's been here. We have Jared Morningstar. Jared, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, it's been a long time. It's good to be back.
Why are you blowing me off all the time, man?
Dude, man, I'm telling you, this teaching thing is just keeping me far more busy than I ever thought it would.
I always make the joke that that Howard's paying you more because you're on his show more.
But I'll tell you what, it seems like that, but this is where I got my start, so it's been a long time coming, but hopefully we'll make it worth it.
Well, we're glad to have you back, man. And I had you kind of write a special little rant for us, and we're going to entitle this segment Jared's Rant. So why don't you go ahead and give us a rant, and we'll talk some shit when you get done.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, this is just not so much just a rant on pop country, but just like the general state of what's become of even our little underground movement. So here we go. Growing up, two visions of country music were presented to me. The first was of its timeless past. My grandparents were responsible for giving me this glimpse at the time when Hank Williams was the king through their old records and stories of their several trips to Nashville to see the Opry in the Ryman. I always enjoyed this vision. The steel guitar and fiddle sound was beautiful, and the stories they helped tell were real. So too were the artists, their musical tales of heaven, hell, heartbreak, and honky-tonk's head soul. The songs were alive. They had a pulse. And it was impossible for me not to enjoy them. Unfortunately, the other vision of country music presented to me was of its unfortunate modern sound. The topics mostly remained the same, but the lyrics had become cliched and cheesy, and the sound had radically changed. Gone were the fiddles and steel guitars that I loved in the old sound, drowned out by rock and roll guitars and C-minus Lynyrd Skynyrd riffs and melodies. The soul of the genre had disappeared, replaced by the manufactured nonsense to which Nashville had dedicated its promotional efforts in the name of progression. Basically, there was nothing country about country music anymore. People can argue about when this movement towards progression began. Truthfully, as rock and roll began to hit its strides, Nashville immediately started to think progression. Electric guitar started to become a larger focus, and artists like Ernest Tubb flirted with the style resembling this new musical phenomenon. It failed, at least for the moment, and Nashville moved towards a more mature sound dominated by strings and lush production. This movement was put to rest a decade or so later by the outlaw movement led by Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson. Initially rejected by Nashville, the southern rock-esque sound was eventually embraced by the town once it realized it could make money off the artist's rebellious attitude. Hank Williams Jr. and his immense popularity helped make it easier for Nashville to fall in love with outlaws, and the industry began to reward him with several CMAs in the 1980s. This kind of live show made popular by Hank Jr. did not take place in the honky-tonks. It took place in huge outdoor venues. Progression continued to rear its ugly head when Garth Brooks came to town with his huge light shows and more accessible lyrics. The rock and roll atmosphere brought to country music by the outlaws was still present, but now the music was squeaky clean by comparison. And the music had become even more ridiculously soulless since Garth was established as a country god by Nashville and the industry. Today, in the mainstream, all that once made the genre special is all but dead and buried. A few years back, however, I came across an underground movement of artists still making music that sounded, well, like country. Fiddle and steel dominated the sound of this movement, just as it had the country music of the genre's golden past. Of course, Nashville shunned and continues to shun these artists, and this didn't surprise anyone. First, By radio standards, it sounds dated. Country fans today want redneck music, not hillbilly music. Simple heart and whiskey songs don't appeal to most people today, unless they're hicked up to the 100th degree. And second, why would Nashville want to play music that basically goes out of its way to bash the town and industry in every way it can? Just about every artist in this movement has tapped into this sort of rebellious attitude at least in one song he or she has written. And that one song has become a staple of his or her live shows. Initially, I loved this. After all, these artists were putting all of my feelings about the current state of Nashville and country music into words. Their angry cries were passionate, and it was impossible not to be sucked into that sonic vacuum. I'd never felt so satisfied to be part of a rebellion. Surely we would make a difference. Surely our voices would be heard. Surely people would catch on. However, after a while, I began to realize the faults of this offensive. Yes, it had attracted new people to the live shows. It has helped some of these artists gain new fans. Still, as I watch people at these shows, and as I listen to people talk about why they love these underground artists, the problem with this movement becomes evident. In many cases, these people have fallen for the rebellious image of the artists that make the music, not the music itself. Artists are forced to write anti-Nashville song after anti-Nashville song because that's what people want to hear at live shows. And when people, when the fans of the movement speak of someone like Hank Williams and Johnny Cash, they speak of them as rebels and outlaws, and very little about their music. This is a huge problem. Whether we like it or not, there are several people among us who claim to love this underground sound that are guilty of basically the same things as pop country fans. While they are puppets to the rock and roll redneck image that Nashville is selling, some people are also coming over to the underground country because of its anti-establishment image. In both cases, it's more about the image than the music, and it's wrong. We're fighting a pointless battle if we keep flying the middle finger at Nashville. The fact is, Nashville doesn't care. As long as it keeps making money, why should it? And even if our little movement did get big enough to matter to the mainstream, Nashville would just find a way to capitalize on it just as it did on the outlaws in the 70s. What we need to do is make this about the music again, not an image. Even Waylon Jennings knew the outlaw rebel image was ridiculous. He said so himself in song. Artists need to stop writing songs with anti-Nashville messages and get back to the basics. The fiddle and steel, honky-tonk, heartbreak basics. Only then will country music be truly real again. It has to be about the music, not a cool image. And that's the goal for which the artists and their listeners, even if there are very few of us, should be striving.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Ooh. Took a little bit to get that out there, man. It's just this feeling that's been brewing up inside me for quite a while, and I just, you know, had to get it into words.
You know, we can sit here and say, fuck Nashville, and even It Burns When I Pee is guilty of saying, you know, kicking pop country in the balls and pissing on the porches of corporate Nashville, but...
It's not that Nashville doesn't suck. I think we can all agree on that. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, you know, if we're going to sell this entire movement and by just, like, flying the middle finger, then it's not going to be about the music. We're going to attract a lot of people that don't necessarily care about the music. They're just trying to be anti-establishment. You know, it's the same thing as you see people at the mall in Hot Topic, you know, wearing their Blink 182 t-shirts saying that they're anti-establishment because they follow what, you know, called a punk band. And that's a shame. You know, I don't want that to happen to this music. You know, punk is dead. I don't want, you know, our little, even if it's small, I don't want our little country music, which sounds like actual true country music movement, to die because it's all about an image instead of music. I just don't want that to happen.
We need to have remind all the artists that when they're making songs, to make them for the reasons that they started doing the music anyway, you know, the passion of the music. Being the rebel and kind of saying fuck Nashville in every song is cool to a point, but we need to make people see that we're not a bunch of punks, and that, you know, we're not just yelling at somebody to yell at somebody, that we're doing it because the music is truly better and more rich than what's being put out. And I'm hoping that that's what this show kind of promotes as well, is there is music out there that is 10 times better than what you're hearing on Nashville's FM radio stations, that the radio stations are getting paid to play. I agree with you totally that I don't want this genre, or however you want to say it, covered up and blanketed up by an image that we might not be able to get rid of.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, it's just when people talk about Hank Williams and Johnny Cash, and there's so much more depth to them. I mean, yeah, it's really easy to fall for Cash's, you know, his whole playing in the prisons and things like that. Like, well, you know, people take a look at it and think to themselves, wow, you know, what a badass or whatever. But there's so much more to Cash than that. I mean, he played to these prisoners because he felt sorry for them. I mean, there's passion there. And you go back and you listen to all the hymns he did and stuff. I mean, Cash was a deep person. So was Hank Williams. They weren't just out there trying to, you know, be rebels. That wasn't their goal. They were trying to be themselves, you know. Especially Hank Williams. I find it very hard to believe that Hank Sr. would go out, you know, to a bar and drink, just based on everything I've heard, you know, all these times just for fun, just to raise Cain, you know. I mean, his songs revealed something very, very different, and I think, you know, they revealed that he would go out to the bar to get away from the pain and stuff like that, and I think people are losing sight of that just because they fall in love with this outlaw image again 30 years later, after the original outlaw image was, you know, overdone and destroyed. I mean, Waylon said that himself, so, you know, it's a shame.
Well, Jared, buddy, it's been a long time, and thank you very much for being back, and definitely don't be a stranger, man.
Oh, no, man, I'll try not to. I'm getting more and more comfortable as I go along in this teaching thing, so I'm sure I'll have more time to get back on the show as future episodes keep coming along. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome, and if anybody else wants to hear your album reviews, usually every Friday on the Bootleg Asylum Radio Show with One More Name, he features an album review with you guys, right?
Yep, that's still going on every Friday. Definitely hear the album reviews there. We do a different one every week, and we cover a lot of different styles. So even if you're not, you know, a country fan or whatever like that, we still cover some really good rock and roll over there as well.
Thanks, buddy, and we're going to go ahead and play another commercial here and a voicemail from Restless in Amsterdam, and then we're going to get into the meat of the show. No pun intended. We're going to hear Paint by Numbers by the Meat Purveyors, and then we're going to have an interview with Bill Anderson of the Meat Purveyors. And I know everybody is saying the whole show so far, Blake, the Meat Purveyors have broke up. Why are you having them on your show? Because I think, just as in your essay that you wrote, the Meat Purveyors are what it's all about. They don't have egos. They're not trying to put up some kind of front. They just make really great music, and Bill Anderson writes really amazing songs. So, Jared, again, thanks a lot, buddy, and check out Paint by Numbers. Twangville.com is your number one source for twang-influenced music. They have blogs, reviews, streams, and so much more. But most importantly, they support It Burns When I Pee. So grab your salve and apply externally. Head on over to twangville.com and check them out. Twangville.com, because twang is cheaper than poontang.
Hello, this is Restless in Amsterdam from the Netherlands. I'd like to thank the whole team of It Burns When I Pee for all you're doing for the real country and American music. I also want to thank you for always honoring Hank Williams and for keeping his memory alive. I love to listen to the great music you have on your shows, and also to the interviews with the artists. All my best wishes from Monica as Restless in Amsterdam. Thank you.
From the way you carried on, I wouldn't really say you missed her. I saw you at the motel pool, you were with that fool and you were laughing. Your skin was brown, he had his arms around you, the sun was bright and you were laughing. sadness, let's make purple stand for dread. Yellow is the sun crawling through the sky to mark the passing days. Brown is for the bourbon in the bottle, and gray will be my haze. Judge wore black, I stood and turned my back, and I walked out into the city. I hope that you can understand, I couldn't shake your hand, I couldn't be a man. You go on and live out your life, I'll go on painting my numbers. Green is for my jealousy, my stand for dread. Yellow is the sun crawling through the sky to mark the passing days. Brown is for the bourbon and in the bottle, and gray will be my haze.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of It Burns When I Pee. I'm your host, Blake Clayton, and we have a special guest with us. He's a member of the Austin Music Hall of Fame, and his name is Bill Anderson, formerly of the Meat Purveyors, and you just got done hearing their song, Paint by Numbers. Bill, how are you doing today?
Good.
Pleasure to have you on the show, man.
Yeah, it's nice to be on.
I got a little tidbit about the new the song we just played, Paint by Numbers.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, the first, there's a song called Paint by Numbers. The album's called Pain by Numbers, and the cover is a Paint by Numbers. So actually, we had the picture that's the cover art first. I have it; it's on the wall in my house. And I was telling someone what the cover was going to be, and he said it was Mark, the guy that helped produce it. And he said, "Oh, well, you should call it Pain by Numbers then." Which was a great idea, and we were, we had started recording, and then during the recording process, I woke up one night, in the middle of the night, and wrote down the words for that song, Paint by Numbers. So actually, that song was the last thing that came of those elements.
Oh wow! So let's get started, kind of talking about you before we get into the Meat Purveyors. Where were you born and raised?
Well, I was born in New York, in Brooklyn, in New York City, but I only lived there when I was real young, and then we moved around a lot, California, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. I went to high school in Maryland, right outside D.C. Then I moved back to California briefly, and then like 25 years ago I moved to Austin. So I've been in Texas more than half my life, and I couldn't really say I'm from anywhere, but,
you've been everywhere, but not from anywhere.
Yeah, I feel more Texas than anything at this point. I've been in Austin, for 25 years, so it's my home.
And so, obviously, you're the guitar player for a number of bands. What was your biggest influence in deciding to take up the guitar?
Well, in the Meat Purveyors, I play acoustic guitar, but in every other band I've been in, I played electric guitar. And really the thing that when I was a little kid, I guess I was about 12 or 13, the thing that really wanted me to pick up guitar was Chuck Berry. I was really into Chuck Berry. Like, they had this kind of a 50s revival in the early 70s, so you heard that stuff all the time, Chuck Berry and Bo Diddley and Little Richard, and I was really into the Chuck Berry guitar playing. And that was the first thing that really got me, of course, I didn't know how to play guitar. I never had any lessons, so I would just pick up this crappy nylon string acoustic guitar that was in our house and, you know, kind of try to figure it out. It took me a couple of years before I could, you know, about a year before I could really even play a song. But, you know, and then I was listening to the Beatles a lot at the time. I had a friend, and we would try to figure out all these Beatles songs. But, and not long after that, I really got into blues, like old blues. And that's the thing that I've loved the most my whole life, was the, you know, blues music.
You've been in a number of bands, Poison 13, Hands of Glory, and quite a few others that have covered a wide variety of musical styles, from punk to blues to bluegrass. What is your favorite style of music, and what's your favorite style of music to write in and to play?
That's hard to say. I feel really the most comfortable writing country songs. And really before... Yeah, like blues and country songs. That's what I feel most comfortable writing, like songs, lyrics. But as far as music, I've written, you know, songs for a lot of different kinds of bands, a lot of different kinds of music, and I really just like to play. You know, I just like to play electric guitar. I've been in bands where I played like Afropop, and I've been in bands where I played blues or real trashy blues or country or, you know, even like just weirder punk rock stuff. And to me, it's all music. I like to, you know, as long as it's not, you know, there's stuff that's lame that I wouldn't play. But and when I toured with Nico Case in 2000, and you know, I was playing her, it was more her country stuff at the time. It was that her second album. So I just like to play electric guitar. I always kind of have a certain, you know, thing that I've always done, but it's adaptable.
Sure. And kind of cutting in again, when you mentioned that you prefer to play, or you like to play electric guitar, the first four albums of the Meat Purveyors didn't have a lot or any electric guitar until the last one.
No electric, no.
Was that kind of that last album that you guys did, where you kind of like, I'm breaking out the electric guitar and I don't care?
Yeah, well, it was like we had been talking about that for a while. Like, let's do something different, you know. Let's play some electric and get some other people to come in, or some of our other friends to come and play with us. And I wanted Pete to play electric too, because on some of those songs, where you hear someone doing really super fast country stuff, the super fast shit is Pete, because, you know, that's how he plays mandolin too.
Sure.
And then if there's anything that's more bluesy or weirder sounding, it's me playing it. But you know, we both just wanted to play some electric guitar. And the first four albums, that's really how the Meat Purveyors always were live. We only did the electric thing live a couple times, but you know, I always considered myself in the Meat Purveyors to be the drummer, and you know, I would write songs, but really I was like the function I played was more like the drummer than guitar player,
keeping everybody in time and keeping everybody on rhythm.
Yeah, and keeping it going fast, keeping it fast and powerful, and you know, kind of just setting the pace.
All right, so you know, this show is geared toward real country music, we call it, and independent country music, however you want to call it, and we're into really stressing to stick the middle finger up at corporate Nashville. We always ask our guests to give us their opinion on the state of country music today. And what are your views on quote-unquote corporate Nashville?
Yeah, I mean, it's barely even worth, you know, it's barely worth talking about. It means nothing to me. I don't listen to it. Every once in a while I hear, you know, some Toby Keith or something like that. But I just don't give a shit about it. And it doesn't really, you know, when I think of country music, I don't even think of that.
Right.
And I think it's kind of cool now. There's all this satellite radio, so you can actually hear. There's actually oldies country stations now, which are real cool. And you know, most people I know, I don't know anyone that likes, you know, regular corporate, you know, country music television.
Sure.
Shit. Everybody, you know, pretty much, you can take it for granted. People like Hank Williams and Johnny Cash, and they could give two shits about whatever is on the radio. I don't even know them, you know.
Right. And I think that kind of is an influence because of with you being in Austin. What would you say the difference between the music scene in Nashville and Austin is? Is that kind of what it is? Is, you know, to me, Austin is more of a source for real talented country music right now as opposed to Nashville.
Yeah, let's see. Well, you know, I've been to Nashville 3 or 4 times. I've played there a couple times, but I don't really like Nashville, even as a city, that much. It doesn't really interest me. I've seen some amazing, you know, pickers there. Like this one guy that lives in Austin now, Red Volkert. The first time he plays guitar with Merle Haggard, and the first time I ever saw him was playing for Tips on a Monday night in Nashville at the bar next to where the Meat Providers had just played, and he totally blew my mind. What fucking great guitar player he is, like a Telecaster guy. Now he lives in Austin, and I can go see him whenever I want.
There you go.
But like I think Nashville, there's probably like a lot more people that can play, you know, that are pickers, as they call them, than Austin, maybe. Even though there's a shitload of guitar players in Austin, too. But, Austin is more, I think it's more about the music than the business. It's always felt that way to me. It's probably a great place to, it used to be always, I always thought of it as a great place to start a band. And, you know, I don't know if it's a great place to be successful in a band, but it's definitely, there's a lot of musicians in Austin. People that want to play in bands, you know, people that have songs and stuff like that.
Sure. So let's get into some, you know, Meat Purveyor questions. And as everybody knows who's listening to this, for most people at least, the band is not together. And when I had announced that we were going to have you on the show, a lot of folks were kind of like, Blake, you know, they broke up. But you guys have always been one of my favorite bands and one of the first that I really got into when I got into this genre of music. So, you know, the band formed in 1996. Can you tell us a little bit about how the band got together?
Yeah, let's see, me and Joe, the singer, we had actually been in this band called Joan of Arkansas about 5 years earlier, and it was pretty much the same thing, except not as serious and not as many original songs, and it was just kind of a bunch of people that we knew from the punk rock bands that liked country music and wanted to just get together on Saturday afternoon and practice. And we adapted some of our songs, and some of the songs that the Meat Purveyors did, we actually started in Joan of Arkansas in 1991. But it was kind of a revolving group of people. Sometimes there'd be like 7 people there, sometimes there'd only be 4 of us, but it just, you know, we probably only played about a dozen gigs in, you know, 3 years. It wasn't really about that. It was about, you know, just getting together and having fun singing country songs. But then in 1996, Joe and this girl Nora, a banjo player, Nora Floyd, who you might recognize that name for one of our songs, they said, hey, do you want to start another band like Joan of Arkansas was? You know, Nora had a couple songs that she wrote, and she was a really good banjo player. And I went out and practiced with them and listened to the songs Nora had, and I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And then Nora knew Sherilyn from San Diego, and somehow Peter just kind of knew a friend of her friend. He wandered when they were practicing. I wasn't there that day. He wandered by, and he said, hey, I play mandolin. I could play in this band. And so they drafted him. I wasn't even there. Pete had, like, a beard and long hair and was wearing, like, Birkenstocks at the time. And you know, it was the 5 of us. And then Nora, we had to part ways for various reasons. She had a lot of problems, which she's over now, thank God. But at the time, it just wasn't working out. So we, you know, thought, do we need to get... This is like 1990, early 97 by this time. And then Nora left, and we thought, we got to get another banjo player or a fiddle player. And we tried all these things. And then we realized, let's not. Let's just be the 4 of us. And sometimes we'll hire a fiddle player. So that's what we ended up doing. Then in spring of 1997, it was South by Southwest, and John Langford. I had started playing with John Langford when he came to Austin every year to like do an art opening or something. And in '96, and then in '97, he won me to play with him at South by Southwest, and I got him to come to this party that Sherilyn had, and he saw the meat purveyors, and he made Rob, who is one of the, Rob Miller from Bloodshot, come see us, and as soon as we were done, Rob's like, do you guys want to make a record? And that was spring of 96, and by the end of that year, we had our first album out.
And you had a total of 5 albums total between 97 and 2007, and you were the primary songwriter for most of those songs.
Pretty much every album has about half covers and half originals, or close to, sometimes a few more originals, and I wrote, 90% of those.
Where did you find your inspiration? I mean, you have everything from drinking songs to songs about love gone wrong, which is kind of the focus on this show, and then you had, the kick-ass party songs, the fast songs. Where do you get your inspiration when you start writing a song?
That's a really good question. I wish that I could. It's so random. Sometimes it's just something somebody says or something that just pops into my head. Like, I have to get this idea first before I can write, a whole song. And sometimes you just don't think of anything. I mean, I can't purposely try to think of it. Something has to pop into my head and then go from there. But definitely, just our lives. Joe and Sherilyn, the singer and the bass player, I would get a lot of ideas from them. Just, I kind of would try to write songs from their point of view because they were singing them, and they were kind of like, muses. It was easy to, they would just inspire me. Not really any of the words or anything, but, I mean, they wouldn't give me any words, but just their life, their lives, their, all the crazy shit they were going through. With also my own life.
Sure.
You
had mentioned that you have a lot of cover songs on the albums, and some of them are like "Don't You Want Me, Baby," "Hot Blooded," "Rose Colored Glasses," and my favorite is "Round and Round." How you guys put the meat purveyor spin on a Rat song was amazing to me. But do you enjoy doing covers and kind of putting your own style into the songs?
Yeah, that was half the fun. I mean, that was kind of something we had decided early on. Like, we're gonna cover whatever we want and do it our way, and it was fun to think of songs. There's one you mentioned, the only cover song that I ever really kind of regretted was Hot Blooded. Every one of those songs I like something about, like that Rat song. I always love that chorus, "Round and round, what goes around comes around," and when we listen to the whole, all the verses, the words were pretty bad. We changed some of them a little bit, but it was really fun to do, and the ABBA song was really fun to do. We did a SOS, but Hot Blooded, that was the only song. I wish we would have left that off the album. I don't like that song. I don't like anything about it. And Joe knew it, and she wanted to do it, and we did it, but later I was like, that was a waste. That was a waste of space.
And one of the ones I mentioned was "Don't You Want Me, Baby," and the first time I heard it, I'm like, why are they having two girls sing the song? Because it is a duet, and I'm like, can Bill and Peter not sing that much to where they, but
we really can't. I mean, I can sing. I sing backup sometimes live, but really not a good. I don't have a good voice. Believe me, if I could sing really good, I'd be out there singing all the time. And Peter really can't sing.
Well, and like I said,
it's kind of fun. We'd have a good girl thing, and sometimes it's kind of funny, like,
yeah, and I think that's what put a different spin on it was when, because you're listening to the first verse, and then when, when the second verse comes on, you're like, oh, wait, and it kind of catches you off guard, but then you're like, they both still have really amazing voices, so.
Yeah, I love their, when they sing together.
Can you talk about why the band broke up not long after your guys' last record, which is Someday Soon Things Will Be Much Worse? It's kind of a premonition, maybe.
Yeah. Well, that was more, I think it was the main thing was just Sherilyn didn't want to practice or travel anymore. And she kind of got that idea even while we were, just when we were done recording it, before we did all the tours and stuff that we had booked, and to her credit, she went ahead and did all the tours. But she really just wasn't, her heart wasn't in it anymore for I don't know, different reasons, some of them out of her control, and just, I don't know. I mean, we probably would have kept going, I guess. And the thing, the weird thing is, since we broke up about in our last show was in New York in November of 2006. But since then, we all played on this, on a couple different projects. One for this film, so we had to do a song about marbles, and one we got one of the guys from the Waco Brothers. I don't know if you know
that
guy Dino, one of the main guys from the Waco Brothers. We we've all played on. He's doing this solo record. It's acoustic, and we've all played on that. And we actually did some shows. We had promised this club in Kansas, you know, from a year ago that we'd play their surprise Christmas party. And so since we were doing that, we played a show in Austin. So we've actually played a handful of times, and I think that we'll play some next year, too, maybe by late summer or something. But I don't think we'll ever get back together full-time or make another record.
Oh, come on now, Bill.
No, it's hard to say. I mean, we broke up. The first time we broke up was New Year's Eve of 99-2000. That was our last show ever. Like, Joe and Pete, you know, people know this now, so I can tell you. They were a couple, and then they broke up, and Joe said she just didn't, she just couldn't handle it. So we broke up, and we didn't even think about getting back together for almost 2 years, and then one day Joe said she missed Meat Purveyors, and I was like, well, why don't we just do that again? And so we started practicing again, and we recorded three more albums before we finished. So
there's always that possibility, like fans like me that can sit there.
It is, it's also, it's hard. It's really, of all the bands I've ever been in, the Meat Purveyors are the hardest show to do live.
Mm-hmm.
Only in that there's not much equipment, and we travel real easy. We travel light, but like physically, the show is hard. And there's the drinking and staying up late and trying to play, you know, drums on an acoustic guitar. And it's just it was kind of a relief to take a break from it. It's really you know, it tears up my fingers and takes up all my time, and and there's just the drinking was pretty relentless in the purveyors. So, you know.
So in the meantime, what do you have going on your own projects currently?
Well, I'm in this band, Cat Scientist, that I've been in for a while now. It's kind of like, well, you can check it out on MySpace. It's kind of a, I'm really bad at describing, you know, bands I'm in. I play electric guitar. There's keyboards and sometimes drum machines, sometimes real drums, and it's like kind of weird dance music, kind of. I don't know. You can listen to it if you're interested. But there's this thing that's about to take up all my time. I don't know if you're a Daniel Johnston fan, but I'm about to play guitar in this rock opera.
Okay.
It's going to be at this theater in Austin. And rehearsal starts on Monday, and it's going to be like 6 days a week of rehearsal for a month, and then the show starts, and I'm going to be playing like 5 or 6 nights a week.
Wow.
And yeah, that's going to take up my whole life for the next till mid-April.
And then the Meat Purveyors will get back together. No.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I don't know after that. Joe and Pete really want to do a band together, and I have a feeling that Meat Purveyors will play again someday. I hate to do it if it's not all four of us.
Right.
We just went through so much shit together. You know, I feel like if it's not all four of us, it's not really the Meat Purveyors. And if we're not going to do, if it's not going to be the Meat Purveyors, then I don't want to play, you know, play acoustic guitar.
Sure.
I would do it if it's all four of us. Otherwise, I want to do something that we could do an electric honky-tonk band. And then there's this other band that I have. I shouldn't even talk about it, but there's this other thing that I really want to do that I'm going to do sometime this year when I'm done with the Daniel Johnston thing. But I'll save that.
Well,
I hate to talk about stuff if I'm not actually doing it.
Oh, yeah,
so.
No doubt. Well, if anybody wants to get any of the Meat Purveyors albums, they can go to, obviously, they can go to bloodshotrecords.com. And there is a meatpurveyors.com as well. That's T-H-E-M-E-A-T-U-R-V-E-Y-O-R-S. Is that still up and running?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
And then you have the MySpaces, which...
Yeah, the MySpace page is the one that I always, you know, that I maintain actively and respond to and everything.
All right. Well, Bill, again, thank you very much for being on the show. For all you fans out there that want to go back and pick up some of the Meat Purveyors albums, it's amazing music. And then, like I said, Bill's got quite a few things of his own if you're interested in that stuff. And, Bill, it's an honor to have you on the show. I love your music, and you're an amazing writer. And, you know, even if it's not called the Meat Purveyors, you still got a fan right here.
Awesome. Thanks, Blake. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, Bill. Take care, buddy.
You too.
That man that you advertised, you sold me, baby, I bought all those lies. Then you disappeared without a trace, leaving a stranger in your place. Don't be sorry, just be gone. There's no earthly reason to cry and carry on. Don't apologize, grab your stuff and say goodbye. Don't be sorry, just be gone. The town says, girl, quit putting off your life, loving somebody that nobody likes. Just so you know, I stood up for you. I hate they were right, I hate that they knew. Don't be sorry, just be gone. Came from. Don't apologize, don't waste your breath with lies. Don't be sorry, just be gone. Some moments that were beautiful. Someday you'll wonder if I was the one. You'll never know, I'm already done. Don't be sorry, just be gone. There's no reason for me to cry and carry on. Don't apologize, don't even say goodbye. Don't be sorry, just be gone.
Hey, this is Kim, and you're listening to It Burns When I Pee at section86.com, and just butter my butt and call me Biscuit.
Ryan Skinder, how are you, sir?
Fabulous.
I know you listen to all the episodes, and I was wondering, has It Burns When I Pee helped you with the girls?
I'm still single.
Believe I let you talk me into this.
And I know you listen to Burns and IP all the time, and I know you have a new dog. Is it helping train your dog?
Yeah, he's doing a great job going to the bathroom outside. I just give him a treat every time he goes to the bathroom.
And that treat is probably listening to segments of it, Burns and IP, correct?
Yeah, directly from them.
Good boy. Now, don't be gay. Don't be gay, Sparks. Don't be gay.
Get your life together.
Okay.
Get your life together.
Okay.
Get your life together.
Okay. Yes, another song by the Meat Purveyors, Don't Be Sorry. Thanks again to Bill Anderson for being on the show. I want to remind everybody that we need your votes at podcastalley.com. That's podcastalley.com. There's a link on our MySpace to get to it. So just head on over there and type in It Burns When I Pee in the search box. And then click on the red It Burns When I Pee, and then you'll have three options. The middle one is to vote. Vote for us. Put your email address in. Leave a comment if you like, and each month they reset the vote, so vote for us every month at podcastalley.com. Want to remind everybody also that we still have the Executive Golden Shower Room. That's our MySpace group. If you go to our MySpace page on the left-hand side at the bottom, there's a link to it. Sign up today. It's a forum for everybody to talk about the show, talk about guests that they would like to have on the show, or just talk bullshit about real country music. So again, that's the Executive Golden Shower Lounge, our MySpace group. Check it out. Sign up today. Want to give a big shout out to spfanzine.com. These guys are awesome. We got in touch with them over the last month or so, and they have dedicated a special page on their website just to It Burns When I Pee. They have tons of stuff about country music, rockabilly, blues, all kinds of stuff, but check them out. It's spfanzine.com. spfanzine.com, folks. They're pretty awesome, and they made a pretty cool page dedicated just to It Burns My Piece, so check it out. Wanted to give everybody the contact information. Again, we do have a new email address. That's blake@ibwip.com. Just take a few minutes and shoot us an email and tell us what you think of the show or any questions or comments that you have, and we'll be reading them on the show as well. So again, that's blake@ibwip.com. I figured that was a lot easier to type in than our old address. And we also have our dial-in number. Please call and leave us a voicemail. We play all our voicemails on the show. The number is area code 309-761-4227. And again, we have this contact information also on our MySpace if you need to look it up again. Want to thank everybody at section86.com and Andy for helping out to make the show what it is. I just record the show, and he goes and punches in everything and puts it on the internet. So thanks again to Andy for all your help. You want to check out Vertebreaker and Creative Tragedy. There are two other podcasts that they have at section86.com, and Vertebreaker is a pretty kick-ass show. I love it. Those guys are funny as hell. And I'm actually going to be a guest host on episode 21. And I do believe that it's already out. So go to section86.com and download episode 21 of Vertebreaker. And check out Blake Clayton. Like you've never heard him before, that's for sure. I want to give a big shout out and thank you to Christoph Mueller for doing the show art yet again. He's done an amazing job. He's done three of them for us. And I wish I could have him do every episode, but that's really not fair because I'm not paying him anything. But thanks again, Christoph. You're an amazing artist, and we appreciate your time and efforts. And finally, for me, I got a big court date coming up on February 29th, and I'm crossing my fingers and hoping everything goes well. But I wanted to give a shout-out to my buddy Austin and tell him that no matter what happens, I love him very much, and no matter what happens, he's still my big guy. So, again, I love you, Austin, and hopefully everything goes right. So let's round up episode 12 here with a couple more songs. One song by the Von Erichs entitled Long Neck, and another one by Stacey Dean Campbell entitled Ashes of Old Love. And then we will have our friend, our sexy, sexy friend, Cheyenne on, and she'll play one more song for you. So again, this is the Von Erichs with their song Long Neck, and Stacey Dean Campbell with his song Ashes of Old Love. And that's it for me, guys. And we'll see you next time on It Burns When I Pee. And as I always say, don't forget to get your hank on. Bitches! We'll be right back.
Blake, this is Southern Man from Alkaloo, South Carolina. I don't usually do phone calls, but I think I'll make an exception with you since you're such a cool fella. Just want to say I love the podcast, man. I love what you're doing for the underground music scene, the country music scene. Great show, man. Keep up the good work on everything. Later.
Rub your daddy's belly during the halftime show and think of some good times to be had by all. You know your thoughts are outlawed in the Yankee States. You're thinking about hip rock, grindcore, and that newfangled city grass. The Outlaw Punk is dedicated to playing the real cowboy music inspired by their punk cousins. That is to say, we play hard rocking, driving, drinking, honky-tonk music inspired by the music legends. So come on down to www.outlawpunk.com and enjoy some good times.
Greetings from Las Vegas. Postcard said, lipstick on a coffee cup, blood red. These little memories, like cinders, kept him warm for years. From the fire he remembers, they're now souvenirs. Yeah, she shined like a diamond. Burn like a fever, but he was a classic runner. Common deceiver, the flame that she sparked rose just high enough to keep him sifting through the ashes of old love. By 10 reminder on the table by the bed, perfume on the pillow where she laid her head. There ain't nothing colder than a young man's foolish pride. Words left unsaid that smolder down deep inside. Shine like a diamond, burn like a fever, but he was a classic runner, just a common deceiver. But the flame that she sparked rose just high enough to keep him sifting through the ashes of old love. Through the ashes of old love, to keep him sifting through the ashes of old love.
What do you mean you're not going to do it? You're boycotting the show because of the writer's strike. But you don't write it. You just read it. And I don't pay you any money. Oh, come on. You've got like tons of fans out there that beat off to you every episode. And you're not going to fulfill their fantasy? Oh, Jesus. Yeah. The writer's strike is for people who write. Fine. Oh, whatever. I'm glad I only got you a box of chocolates for Valentine's Day. Well, everybody, it looks like I'll be doing the exit for the show. I want to thank Bill Anderson for taking the time out to be with us. And remember, just because the meat purveyors are not together doesn't mean you still can't grab some of their CDs and appreciate some really good country music. I also want to remind everybody to go to podcastalley.com and vote for us. We need your votes each and every month to climb to the top of the charts. Again, that's podcastalley.com. Well, I better wrap it up. As a final treat for all you goth country fans out there, here's one more song from Old Boy called Hot Date. See y'all later. Take care.
See, I ain't really 'cause I'm clearly insane, and the body in my bed is only sleeping, and the body in my bed is only sleeping. Said the body in my bed is only sleeping.